Welcome to the Leadership U podcast. Hi everyone, welcome to the Leadership U podcast. Today I am so excited. I got the opportunity to chat with one of the smartest guys I know, Isaiah Mervin. He and I go way back. He was actually in my brother's wedding. We've been friends for a long time, and I was so happy to sit down and talk volunteering with him. This guy knows his stuff. He has worked for so many different organizations. He has worked in museums, nonprofits, churches, performing arts center. This guy has done it all and he has done it very well. So I'm excited to share some of his knowledge with you today as we discuss volunteering, volunteer management, and particularly remote volunteering. If you're a leader who works with volunteers on a regular basis, you are going to love what he has to say. So without further ado, enjoy the show.
Is training as in part of the volunteer experience, the guest service experience? How important is it that volunteers are trained?
It's extremely important. Even just starting from the top, covering, you know, mission, vision, and values of an organization, all the way on through with sort of managing the expectation, that's really the opportunity to talk about what the role encompasses. And talk about expectations for volunteers, because while we do value volunteers and how they give of their time, they're also there to help serve a purpose and fulfill not just a task, but really to fulfill a purpose. And so training them is vital to starting off on the right foot.
And there's different levels of training, obviously, like you mentioned, values and mission and vision, but then also there's technical training. So did you experience any of that, the technical side of training with volunteers? Maybe, I know you have a lot of greeters and different things like that. Mm-hmm. How did you train those roles?
So in those roles, as part of our orientation, we would take them around the building. We had a couple different iterations, but at first we would do classroom style for 2 hours. And then eventually the training morphed into a 3.5 hour training where we brought them in during a show or an event to really show them what was going on in the building. And so then they could sort of see, oh, okay, here's my role modeled by someone else. Here's what I can work up to and see it in action. And so that was a very important part for us. And then hands-on training as well. So after that initial classroom training, we called it the Partners Program, where they would be linked with other people and they could ask them questions along the way and they would be partnered with them for their first couple of volunteer opportunities, so that although we had a group of 500, they were really with one or two people, got to make that strong connection, got to learn more about the volunteer opportunity, and then hopefully carry that tradition on as they progress in the volunteer program. They would have new partners as well that they could train and become friends with and things like that.
That's awesome. So it was a mentorship program.
Exactly, basically.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then do they follow, kind of, they connect with the same people throughout their experience and their journey as a volunteer at the organization? Or is it different, I guess, because of different times that they come to volunteer?
So we would, as part of the Partners Program, because it went all the way from our volunteers to our departmental directors.
Oh.
And so the goal was that when they came in, we would always try to pair them with people of the same team. And so that way it was familiar faces, but we could also recognize if there were certain areas that had an opportunity for growth. So, for example, if we're receiving survey results from our guests and it's about one specific side of the theater, then we know that that specific team needs additional training, maybe in customer service or in efficiency or something like that. So it wasn't really just a shot in the dark. We could really pinpoint our deficiencies and then work upon that and work with the team to improve.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it when numbers actually match up with like real life experience.
Exactly.
Okay, so now a lot of organizations aren't working the same way that they used to since COVID-19 and since the pandemic. There's different opportunities to volunteer, basically. So things are moving into remote volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is training in the remote sector when you're training your volunteers to work remotely?
So it's just as important. I mean, for a new volunteer, it's going to be, you know, again, it's the initial welcome to the organization, mission, vision, values. But then there's also the level of understanding, whether it's for a returning volunteer, once a business reopens, you know, with COVID-19 safety protocols in place, whatever that looks like, you'll have to retrain those existing volunteers on those procedures that you're implementing, or you'll have to train your new volunteers on exactly what procedures and how you want to see the end result. And so since a lot of volunteer opportunities now are virtual, there's really a strong opportunity to create documentation and if volunteers are responding to customers or your guests or something like that, you can really sort of script out exactly what you want them to say and how you want them to respond. Because, you know, if it's through a computer and they're doing like an online chat, they can copy and paste, or they can, there's a little bit more of an opportunity where when you're not right in front of someone and you have to respond,
right,
you can be a little bit more methodical about how you respond to get to the end result.
Right. And then I guess it's really important then for organizations, like you said, to create documentation, but specifically like canned responses for their teammates to like copy and paste and kind of stick on script and
mm-hmm.
take some of the pressure off their volunteers.
I think so. You know, with canned responses too, there's the providing the volunteer an opportunity to really make it their own while also staying with sort of the brand voice. So it's not always a, you know, hello, thank you for calling. Maybe it's a hi or good afternoon, something like that.
Right.
That really, it makes it personal, but also it gets that same greeting. You know, it's the greeting, the message, and then the close. It gets that across.
I love it. What other type of documentation would be important right now for organizations to think about producing as they're getting ready to onboard virtual volunteers?
So if organizations don't already have a volunteer handbook, which manages the expectations of those volunteers, then that's, you know, that's kind of first and foremost. And then after that, it's any sort of training documents that you want volunteers to know about and to go through. I think that's important, whether it's canned responses or here's how you log in. You know, mm-hmm. we have people across all age ranges who want to help, but we also recognize that capabilities may also differ. And so really providing step-by-step tutorials and instructions. Here's how you log into something. Here's how you access this. Here's where you want, you know, we want you to put something. Just taking moments to take screenshots and really outline it is going to be important.
And then how important would be maybe a video demonstration as well? Do you think that's important?
I think it's important because for visual learners, they're going to need something that's a little bit different than something that's just written.
Okay.
And so just as we wouldn't approach every single guest situation or customer the exact same way, we still have to personalize it. We have to do the same with our volunteers.
I love that. Okay. So you mentioned like mentoring programs and stuff. How important is that still in the virtual space?
I think it may come across initially as a challenge. But I think right now it's increasingly more important to stay connected because a lot of times when people volunteer, it's for a community-based thing. They want to get to know people. And of course, you know, there's other reasons, but a main reason is for connection. But we know that inherently virtual opportunities limit connection. And so staying connected and providing those opportunities is very important right now.
What are some suggestions you would give a volunteer manager as how they can keep their team connected online?
Well, first and foremost, email is the quick hit. you know, sending out a mass email and things like that. But I've always operated on the principle that email can sort of get lost in all the clutter. And so it's finding the opportunities to reach out to people with how they want to be connected. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a text message. It could be a handwritten letter that you mail. Whatever it may be, even if you're a smaller organization, you have the opportunity to just, you know, give a small gift or, hey, I'm thinking about you, you know, a logoed water bottle or something like that. Those are touch points that go a very, very long way, especially with volunteers during this time.
Okay, what are some potential trouble areas volunteer managers might run into in the remote space? Can you foresee any?
There's two, and they both revolve around the word and the idea of connection. One is that volunteers may not feel connected to each other and to their opportunity. When you're sitting in front of a computer or when you're answering a phone, you may feel a feeling of disconnect. You know, I hang up the phone or I close a window, and then I realize I'm not actually connected to anyone anymore. The other is a technical idea of connect. When volunteers are volunteering virtually, there's going to be technical challenges. They can't log in. The internet goes down in their area. Power goes down. And at that moment, they can no longer volunteer in a specific area because they're not physically connected.
So what plans can volunteer managers have in place to kind of circumnavigate those issues, do you think?
Well, with a people connection, that's the idea of keeping people engaged, whether it's through those Zoom meetings or phone calls or text messages or something where we're reaching out to people and showing appreciation and thanking them, but also providing them with that opportunity for community. With technical connections, of course, there could be 100 different reasons why something isn't technically working. And it could be on the business end. It could be if the person's volunteering at home or in a physically distant office space. So that's a little bit more challenging, but coming up with contingency planning and saying, hey, if you're answering emails this day instead of answering phones, but our email system goes down, then, hey, hop on phones if you don't mind mm-hmm. and if you feel comfortable. You know, we'd really appreciate it because if our guests can't get a hold of us, then, you know, of course you'd be sitting there doing nothing. But at the same time, they can't get a hold of us, then we have to really be on the forefront of phone calls or something else.
Right. So it's really just having a plan in place so that volunteers know what the expectation is in case something goes wrong.
Exactly.
So they're not just sitting there at home panicking. Right.
What do I do?
Okay, that's good. What's one of the biggest lessons you've learned working with volunteers?
You know, working with volunteers, especially en masse, is that everyone communicates differently. Everyone has different thoughts going through their head. And our intention is different than others' perception. And so it's really important to, it kind of goes to the golden rule of instead of treat others the way you'd like to be treated, it's treat others the way they would like to be treated. And we can't apply a one-size-fits-all mentality to our volunteer program. And I think that's especially important. But the other thing on sort of the flip side is maintaining a level of accountability with your volunteers. And again, that kind of goes back to volunteers are really, the concept of volunteering is based out of helping an organization. And so if you find that a volunteer is not helping, maybe it's in their attitude, maybe it's in the way that they're doing something, you can't really say, well, they're just volunteering, so it is what it is. You know, let's work with that person. It is okay to, quote unquote, fire a volunteer, but we do it out of love and we do it out of compassion and say, you know, this might not be an opportunity for you, but hey, let's try something else. There may be another fit. And always spinning it with a positive or saying, you know, we really appreciate the contributions you've had. I've noticed that over the past few of your volunteer opportunities, you seem to be a little discontent. Is there anything you want to talk about, anything we can work through? And sometimes it's just an attitude check. Sometimes they'll bring something to your attention that you may not know. But really, every person has an individual perspective, and it's important to value that and understand exactly how it fits into the puzzle of your specific organization.
That's so good. Okay, and then if you had one piece of advice that you could give to volunteer managers, mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of guess it goes along with your lessons, but if you had one piece of advice you'd like to give to volunteer managers, what would it be?
In one of my former jobs, which was at a church, I tried to go into the volunteer coordination modeled after one of our departmental admins, and her name was Mia. She was so gracious. You know, someone could come up and be like, I made this really ugly tree and I want to paint it on the building, or I want to give it. And her response is always, oh, thank you so much. That's so great. And it was just always an attitude, having that attitude of appreciation, even though how that volunteer is helping out or how they feel they're contributing isn't actually the case. I think that if you go into managing volunteers with an attitude of appreciation and compassion, and just being grateful, it will go an extremely long way for volunteers.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership U podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeru.org.